you guys are.
How are you enjoying your time here so far?
Really enjoying it, getting in, working out, and working out with some of the younger guys on the D-line and just trying to learn the new ways of playing blocks and stuff like that in the 3-4, post or 4-3, and it's been fun.
Vince said that the biggest adjustment for you would be the 2-gap. Why is that, and what goes into that learning?
Because, I mean, from what I'm seeing right now, it's a little slower than a 4-3, because my whole career I've just been an upfield penetrating guy, you know, and that's basically it. And here it's more getting your hands and controlling on blocks and stuff like that. So that'll be a change from what I'm used to doing. But, you know, I welcome it, and I'm really looking forward to learning it, and I think it'll be a little awesome deal to learn for me, you know, especially this time of my career. Keeps it challenging and keeps it interesting.
When you and the Patriots first made contact during the free agency period, what went into the decision to ultimately sign?
It's really not hard to make that decision to sign here. I mean, this program has been very successful, and, you know, to have Bill call and want you to come into his program, you know, it's an honor to be being an older guy and having a career that I've had, you know, in St. Louis and then going to Carolina, and, you know, just being able to accept this challenge and moving to a different system and totally different philosophy, and knowing that this guy is a guy who's who pays attention to detail. You can tell it through his players, and they do the little things right. You know, I really appreciate that this time of my career, and I think it gives me an opportunity to actually play for a Super Bowl.
How much contact have you had with Vince Wilfork over the years, whether it be through Miami connections or just during the NFL career?
You know, early on, while I was still going back and forth to Miami when he was still playing there, I had a lot of contact with him. You know, just seeing him, working out with him during the offseason and stuff like that. But as he's been here and I've been, you know, in St. Louis and then in Carolina, it's been less and less. You know, it's harder to catch him down there than it is, you know, than it was when he was playing. So, but we sit down in the locker room. I saw him on Monday, and we just hit it right off. You know, it's just like a little brotherly bond there, you know. It's a real thing, I guess you can call it. So it's easy just getting with him, sitting down and catching up on what's going on.
Being a 12th overall pick, as you were back in, was it 01? You've played for a few different teams now. Do you feel like at this point in your career you still have anything to prove?
Yeah, I always got something to prove. That's why you play. I mean, I haven't won a Super Bowl. I haven't went to the Pro Bowl. It's a lot that I have to prove. And those are the challenges that I'm talking about and looking forward to fulfilling.
You mentioned that when Bill called you, Bill Belichick called you, it was a pretty easy decision for you. Was it something where he initiated it and said, come to us? Or do you know if your agent had sort of put the feeler out and said, would you be interested?
I think my agent called me and said that Bill wanted to bring me in. You know, he said he wanted he was interested in bringing me in and playing for the Patriots. I was like, wow. You know, so I was like, okay, I could do that. You know, and then I got on the phone and called some of my friends that did the transition from a 3-4, from a 4-3 to a 3-4, like Ryan Pickett and Green Bay and stuff. Many of them still close and keep in touch. And, you know, Chris Jenkins, you know, and a lot of guys. And then I had Maki, who came to Carolina from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and just talked to him and the differences in it. And Maki felt like it was harder going from learning a 4-3 opposed to playing in a 3-4, you know, because he had been so successful in Baltimore with it. And Ryan really loved it, you know, because he's become a dominant nose in the game, you know. 4-3 guy, you know, he felt like it actually it's extended his career going into a 3-4 and playing the nose. And you know, Jinx is just an animal anyway you look at, and he's big and strong. Hell, he can play anything. So, you know, he likes it too, and he likes playing the nose part of it. But Ryan also said that Jinx's brother Cullen really liked the challenge of playing right in opposed to playing 3 technique in the old scheme and defensive end they were playing in the 4-3.
So where do you see yourself? I assume you'll be working at both spots, nose and end, or where are you starting?
I really don't know. They hadn't sat down and told me exactly what I'm going to do, and they said be ready and learn everything. So that's the approach I'm taking right now. You know, I want to learn to play nose, right in, and left in. I want to learn the whole line and, you know, just get a very good concept of the defense and how it runs and try to understand it as a whole, you know, for us, how the linebackers fit with the D-line and all this stuff. I think that's where it's much more important in a 3-4 opposed to a 4-3. You know, 4-3, I had one solo job, and that's to penetrate and be disruptive. Didn't matter if you made a tackle or a whole game, but as long as you penetrate and made the ball bounce and did that stuff, then you did your job. And this is totally different from that. So, you know, that's what makes it fun and makes it exciting.
Were you surprised at the way it ended in Carolina, or is that something you saw the handwriting on the wall?
You know, I had a very good season. I didn't have as many sacks this year, but for stats and playing the run and putting pressure on the quarterback, I had a really good season. But I also know that I'm 32 and I had a high cap number. And I also know that there was a lockout, you know, in the background coming up. And I know that our owner was one of the guys who's a front runner in this lockout. So, you know, the writing's on the wall sometimes. You know, you don't want to believe that it may be the case, but if it is, then, you know, you pull up your bootstraps, you move on. You know, I have no quarrels, no disrespect for the program. I really love Mr. Richardson and what he's done for me and my family. He's a great owner, a great guy. Coach Fox is a great head coach and great guy, and the whole coaching staff and the whole team. You know, it's a really good team, and I enjoyed my 4 years there, and I wish him well.
Statistically, at least, it seems that you kind of mentioned that the last year or two have been sort of your best years.
Yeah, I started 15. Yeah, I started 15 or 16 last year. I missed the last game of the season with an injury, and I started all 16 this past season.
How do you explain the fact that you're getting older, but you seem to be playing your best football?
It's a bottle of wine, baby. Right over age.
Seriously, is there anything you can point your finger to?
No, seriously. Oh, diet, you know, I've learned to eat smarter, you know, been very lucky. Genetics, you know, hadn't been a guy with a lot of injuries. You know, I had more injuries in Carolina than I had my whole career. You know, I had two surgeries in St. Louis on the same foot. You know, I broke my rookie year. And then I had a clean out on one shoulder and a torn subscap on the other shoulder in Carolina. And for 9 years, three or four surgeries, that ain't bad. You know, some guys have something going on every year, so been lucky.
Is wine part of that diet?
Huh?
Is wine part of the diet?
I do a little red wine every blue moon. Not a big drinker.
Was it a one-horse race for you in terms of coming here, or did you visit other teams? And who?
I didn't visit other teams. There were other teams interested, but I think New England stepped up and showed the most interest, and to the point to where they're actually ready to talk numbers. You know, I think a lot of teams wanted to wait to after the draft or right before the draft, but New England stepped up and said, look, we want him in, and we're going to get him in. So.
Your rookie year, you went on injured reserve in 01, right?
Before. Yes.
What are your recollections, though, of the Super Bowl and being around the team? You know, what do you think back? How do you think back to those days?
Only thing I really remember about the Super Bowl year is that long field goal. They just traveled in New Orleans when Vinatieri kicked it in. It's like, golly. But, no, I mean, it was one of those bittersweet seasons. You know, I felt like I was really starting to turn on my rookie year, and then I broke my foot. I actually broke it here, you know, when we played here. And, you know, and the season moved on. You know, you just kind of sitting there like, wow, you know, this is actually about to happen. Like, this team is finna go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you're sitting there and watching it. It's like, doggone, I'm not even going to be able to play. You know, so that's really the most hurting part about it, you know. But, and you were thinking, I thought, okay, we got a good enough team and we're going to get back. We'll be back next year. You know, they made some changes on the team, got rid of the middle linebacker, and everything changed. You know, we went 0-5 starting out. And we didn't even make the playoffs the following that year, so. You know, it's one of those things, a hard lesson learned. You know, they tell you the Super Bowl can spoil you if you go your rookie year. It's not as easy as it seems. So, you know, I've been chasing that dream ever since, it seems like. So.
There's been a lot of talk this offseason on this team in particular about the need for leadership. Mm-hmm. Some guys are more vocal, other guys are more lead by example. Where would you say you put yourself in that leadership spectrum?
I think I'm more of a lead by example. I like to come in, get my work in, you know, and I like to have fun in the locker room and chop it up with guys, you know. But I think leadership is something, it's more of a personality trait, you know. I don't think it's something that you can force yourself into. You know, like right now, I do not consider myself a leader on this team. There's no way, no how. You know, you have Vince, you have Mayo, you have Brady. You have too many people here who've been here and done it through the system and been successful. So there's no way I can come in and say, okay, I'm automatically a leader. These guys don't know me from Adam. So all I do is keep my head down and work and, you know, and be social with guys. And hopefully my work ethic passes on to the younger guys or passes on to guys of my age as well. You know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to grind every day and I'm going to give them everything I got every day and double it up on Sunday.
I know you just got here. And so Patriots-Jets type rivalry stuff will be new to you, but I know you have the connection with Chris Jenkins out at the Jets. So they bring in Cromartie, they bring in Tomlinson, they get Santonio Holmes this week. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're a fan of this as many of us are. What were your thoughts of that, and do you dial up Chris at that and say, what's going on up there?
Chris told me when you sign, we're a mortal enemy. So he said, I'll talk to you in offseason, brother. But, you know, they're trying to get ready. You know, New England has set a standard in this league for a long time. And with that comes the responsibility of holding it up. And you have everybody clicking at your heels, trying to pull you down and trying to get up to your level. So Jets are making moves to do that. Miami's making moves to do that. You know, Buffalo's trying to make moves. Everybody in this division is making moves to become a better team. And then you kind of look at some other divisions in the league, like the NFC East. You know, they're doing the same thing. You know, these are teams that are normally somewhere around the playoff hunt or somewhere around the Super Bowl hunt. So those guys are from those teams and this team as well trying to position themselves to be playing in that last game of the season because, as we all know, it's only one happy team at the end of the year.
Vince mentioned looking up to you when he first got to Miami. Did you follow his career much? Was there a camaraderie among the generations of the D-linemen as it seems like there is with the safeties there?
Vince is an animal, has always been. I remember when he first got there in December, we were actually getting ready to play Florida. You know, just sitting back watching, it's like, golly, I wish I had another year to play with this kid. You know, he had him and Jerome McDougal, and those guys are humming off the ball, you know, had a lot of energy and a lot of passion for the game. It's like, wow, you know, these guys right here, this D-line would be unbelievable. But, you know, went in and actually watched them play against Nebraska in the national championship and just watched them go out there and crush those guys. It's like, it was sweet, man. But, you know, Vince has been a good player a long time. He's always been a good player. Even in high school, I heard about him and tried to follow him a little bit as much as you could, you know, on the sports news down there in Miami because I love high school football as well. So, you know, he's been a good player, and I think that camaraderie goes a long way, like with Russell Maryland and Cortez Kennedy and all those guys. You know, when we go down for the spring game, have a lot of conversation, and sit back and just chill and have a good time and kind of reflect on NFL careers and college careers, and they always tell us about how they did it back in the day and all that stuff. You know, it's real cool, man. It is.
So sort of outside the box, who's the best guard, in your opinion, in the league that you go up against, or maybe a few of them?
Steve Hutchinson's probably the best. You know, he's getting up there. You know, we all came in the same year, but, you know, he's one of those guys. He's learned how to do things without so much brute strength and learn how to, you know, mentally put himself in position. And, you know, he's just a really good guy, very crafty. You know, and he's aged, you know, and he plays like he's aged. He's a lot smarter than he was in his younger years. And, you know, I had a lot of games against him because he was in Seattle, I was in St. Louis, and played him twice since he's been in Minnesota while I was in Carolina. So he's a really good player.
Just a technicality, but your first name is kind of a unique spelling. You pronounce it Damien?
Yes. Okay. My mama from the country, man. You know, I don't country folks do it. You know, she's going to be special. She threw that E on the end. I said, what am I supposed to be, Damien One? Or what's really going on with this, you know? It is what it is.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Thank you.